turn to Judges chapter 11. I'm going to read from Judges chapter 11 from verse 1. And we'll look at the second part of Jephthah. Judges 11 and verse 1. Now Jephthah the Gileadite was a mighty man of valour, but he was the son of a harlot. And Gilead begot Jephthah. Gilead's wife bore sons, and when his wife's sons grew up, they drove Jephthah out and said to him, "You shall have no inheritance in our father's house, for you are the son of another woman." Then Jephthah fled from his brothers and dwelt in the land of Tob. And worthless men banded together with Jephthah and went out raiding with him. And it came to pass after a time that the people of Ammon made war against Israel. And so it was, when the people of Ammon made war against Israel, that the elders of Gilead went to get Jephthah from the land of Tob. Then they said to Jephthah, "Come and be our commander, that we may fight against the people of Ammon." So Jephthah said to the elders of Gilead, "Did you not hate me and expel me from my mother's house, father's house? Why have you come to me now when you're in distress?" And the elders of Gilead said to Jephthah, "That is why we have turned again to you now, that you may go with us and fight against the people of Ammon and be our head over all the inhabitants of Gilead." I'd like to look at those verses from verse 4. So Jephthah has been driven away for a reason beyond his control. It wasn't his fault that his father was a loose man, and his mother. And he's driven away, and he's attracting the company of worthless men, of base men. And evidently, they pay their bills by raiding. It is not clear. But evidently, in verse 4, the scene shifts away from the land of Tob and Jephthah. And we go to the world of international relations. And the people of Ammon, the Ammonites, have decided they're going to go to war with Israel. In fact, we have that phrase twice, in verse 4 and in verse 5. The initiative is very much with the Ammonites here. The Israelites are evidently quite passive. They are being attacked, and they judge themselves, presumably quite rightly, as the weaker nation. The Ammonites would hardly attack a stronger one. Now it might be that when this attack, this war begins, Jephthah is not aware of it. He is, as it were, minding his own business in the land of Tob, raiding here and raiding there. So we know in verse 4 that there is a large-scale war commencing. But Jephthah, in a way, is kind of insulated and shielded. He's away from the centre of power. He's certainly not having any influence of his own. What might Jephthah have been thinking during that time in Tob? He may well have been upset. I think he probably was. He may well have been angry. He may well have thought, what is God doing in all this? We know that God is going to raise him up as a leader in Israel. That would indicate that there is some saving faith there, some trust in God. And maybe Jephthah is thinking, well, you know, I trusted God, and yet look where he's landed me. Here I am in a strange place, away from my family. My family don't want me. Nobody wants me apart from these worthless fellows. But events are happening which God is going to use, not only to bring him back, but to make him greater than he was to begin with. And it's in the form of a foreign invasion. There seem to be a great many foreign invasions in the book of Judges. God often seems to use them to grab the attention of a wayward people. Here, he's using them to restore to his rightful place the man whom he has chosen to be Israel's judge. So from the main Israelite perspective, verse 4 is bad news. From Jephthah's perspective, he's quite possibly indifferent to it, or he doesn't really care. He might even think, good luck to them. And yet we know that the Ammonites have been moved to make war. And so Jephthah receives a delegation in that fifth verse. The elders of Gilead, that could mean the old men of Gilead. I think it probably means the leaders or the most prominent people. And they've decided to go and get Jephthah back from the land of Tob. It was they who exiled him. But now things have changed. They think differently. Now actually they do want his company. Now they think, yes, maybe he does have some good qualities of leadership, which perhaps we would rather like to benefit from. So they go to get him. And they tell him, come and be our commander, that we may fight against the people of Ammon. Now it might be that that is a contraction of what they said, a kind of shorthand summary. Or it might be that is their opening line. I must say, it bespeaks, I think, the grace of Jephthah. Because in verse 6, I don't see an apology. I don't see any repentance for what they did. And in case anyone thinks, well, these are the elders of Gilead, not his brothers, in verse 7, he addresses them as though they are his brothers. It might well be that his brothers are the leading men. I think they are. I think these elders who have sent for him are the very people who offended him to begin with. Where is the apology? Always be wary of the one who can never apologise. Nevertheless, Jephthah does challenge them in verse 7. Did you not hate me and expel me from my father's house? Why have you come to me now when you are in distress? You didn't want me in the good times. You didn't miss me when all was well. But now you're troubled. You want me back. The elders' attitude towards Jephthah is symbolic of the whole of Israel's attitude towards Jephthah's God in the book of Judges. And, if I may be so bold, in our own lives as well. How many of us can admit that when things are going well, we don't pray so much? But when things are going wrong and trouble comes, suddenly, oh, we are prayer warriors. In the valley, we need the Lord as our shepherd. But on the mountaintop, we can take care of ourselves. Jephthah is pointing out the irony that they are effectively wanting to use him. Why have you come to me now when you are in distress? Verse 8, and the elders of Gilead said to Jephthah, that is why we have turned again to you now, that you may go with us and fight against the people of Ammon and be our head over the inhabitants of Gilead. Again, I don't really see an apology there. In fact, I don't really see much regret. In fact, I don't see anything there which I think commends them to me. And yet we know about Jephthah, was used of God to rescue Israel. And these elders, I think they are quite hard-hearted men. They were hard-hearted at the beginning of the chapter. I think they're quite hard-hearted now. They want to use Jephthah as a warrior when it suits them. And yet I think also it bespeaks the grace of Jephthah that he's willing to entertain their request. And I indicated before that, you know, often we pray more when we want God to help and we're not so bothered when things are well. And yet, even in times like that, God is so gracious and kind. And if your prayer life, like mine, is somewhat imbalanced like that, God still delights to hear you. And God still delights to help you. And God does not help us or support us or strengthen us because we deserve it or we're round-the-clock faithful prayers, but because he is gracious and he is kind and he is forgiving and he is always seeking to strengthen and further that relationship we have with him. But as I close, I just want to go back to that Ammonite invasion. It would have been bloody and expensive and really rather daunting. And yet God used that foreign aggressor to restore a man who was expelled for something that wasn't his fault. God used that foreign aggression to give Israel a great leader, certainly to begin with. God used that foreign aggression, I think, to reunite the family. And if difficulty and hardship increases our prayer life, it also, I think, achieves so much good in our lives. God uses pain. God employs difficulty. Trial and tribulation are the servants of a wise God. And none of us perhaps enjoy that kind of schooling. But often we learn a great deal from it. In future weeks we'll look further at the life of Jephthah.